This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by mmcomfortsystems.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
A homeless man finds himself charged with burglary for trying to steal a massive flat screen television from the downtown Seattle Target. One that is constantly under siege by thieves. Staff say that it was the 22nd time that this guy tried to steal from the store. Although they say in the past 3 months, he's been quite successful to the tune of $6,000 in lost items, stolen items. Now, the entire alleged incident was caught on surveillance footage that I was able to obtain. Now other locals are starting to obtain it. And they will be doing this story shortly. With the exception of Tammy from Como, she gets a pass because she was working on the story at the same time I was. I just beat her to it. And I said in a snarky text, if you snooze, you lose. But then I did a little emoji of the blinking eye. So she knew I was joking. I wasn't. But
what's the blinking eye?
The wink.
Oh.
The one wink.
Oh, the wink. Yeah. Why would you call that blink?
Whatever. I'm talking.
One blinking eye.
It was a blinking eye. I mean, technically, it was one blinking eye.
There's a word for that. It's called winking.
It's called winking, but I was deciding to be wordy in honor of how Como writes some of their web stories.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay. So actually, if you want to see this just truly remarkable video, I've got it up right now at ktth.com. You can also just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770. The suspect's name is John Ray Lomack. He is a prolific offender who, according to the King County Prosecutor's Office, has an extensive criminal history. This event actually took place right before Christmas. Right before Christmas. Before that, he ended up getting banned from the department store because of how often he was going in to allegedly steal. He had a trespass order against him. But turns out he had his eye on a television, so he returned. Surveillance footage shows this guy kind of wandering around the second floor of this Target. He was casing the joint, it looked like. And three televisions that were on display right outside of the electronics department caught his eye. Now, according to the court documents, Target security recognized this guy as a prolific shoplifter because of the previous run-ins, which they say included assaults against staff. So staff called police. As that's happening, Lomack is seen eyeing these 70-inch television sets, LG. They're bound together by those plastic white straps.
Things that are impossible to get off when you're like in a rush and need them?
Yeah. Without cutting them, they retail for $749.99. The TVs, not the straps. Lomack approaches the TVs. He reaches into his pocket while he's looking around the store just to make sure no one's seeing what he's doing. And he kind of like surreptitiously pulls out something from his pocket, a knife maybe, or key, I couldn't tell. Some tool of some kind that he uses to then cut the plastic straps, freeing these televisions. He pauses again. He kind of wanders around the other side of the television display. And then he sort of slyly pushes one of the sets into the aisle. Surveillance footage then cuts to Lomack pushing the television on a shopping cart and into one of the elevators. He emerges from the elevator on the ground level to find some security guards waiting for him. Now, he ignores them, of course. And just continues to walk out with the television, walk towards the exit. And at some point, he does get a little bit more aggressive with the security. According to police, he shoved one of them. You could see it on the video. And then he's trying to push and pull and then push again this large TV outside of the store. Now, for the most part, he's not getting too much pushback from security. They did a little bit, but there's only so much you can do without violating usually store policy or even the law, because if you end up injuring this guy, he might sue you, which would be just the cherry on top of this nonsense. So the guy is struggling, as one would, when trying to get a 70-inch television that's in a box to be pushed out of a store door. I struggle getting a large television into my apartment after it gets delivered. So, been there, except I paid for my TV.
Yeah, you can totally understand where this guy's coming from.
I get it, man. I mean, not the shoplifting part, allegedly, but I get it. So, he finally gets outside, and I think this is my favorite part of the video, to which I showed you and did live play-by-play.
That was very good. You were very good at that, by the way.
That was a treat for you. Some competition there, Peyton.
Oh, role reversal. I like it.
Peyton usually does play-by-play for that team, the Stars.
Tacoma Stars, Tacoma Defiance.
So after he gets out, I guess he doesn't have that shoplifting stamina anymore. Because he's out there, he's like leaning on the box for a bit, like he's taking a breather. It's just like, okay.
Whew. Body ain't what it once was.
Okay, I am definitely not a 24-year-old anymore. Okay, let's do this. And then he drags the TV northbound on the sidewalk. It's pretty remarkable.
Just crudely dragging it, hitting every bump.
Yeah, it is just surreal. Now, off camera, and now I rely on the court documents, police arrive. They end up saying, "What you doing there, buddy? What you got there?" And he said he owned the TV. The cop was all like, "Oh, okay, can I see a receipt? Oh, you don't have one? You are under arrest." So they arrest the guy. Now, you would think at this point he would get in front of a judge who would see this guy's background, which includes the trespassing notice. It includes warrant activity on 32 prior cases. It includes having been convicted of at least 18 felonies and misdemeanors combined, which include second-degree burglary, second-degree possession of stolen property, and fourth-degree assault. You would think that a judge would look at that and say, okay, I'm going to grant a very reasonable bail amount that the prosecution is asking for, because let's be honest, the Northwest Community Bail Fund will probably bail them out anyway. Prosecutors ask $5,000. Judge says, nah. Maybe he was in a Christmas spirit. Because he decided, this judge, Kuljinder Dhillon, I'm going to release him on his own personal recognizance. Now, if that judge's name sounds familiar, Kuljinder Dhillon, it's because we talked about him before. In fact, every single time we bring up a judge, it turns out we've talked about that judge before. This is the judge that lowered a $25,000 bail request to $1,000 against a homeless man who was accused of gouging the eye of the police officer, whose thumb went so deep into, I believe it was the thumb, maybe the forefinger, deep into the cop's eye socket that it went towards the knuckle. That guy was put down to $1,000 bail, which the Northwest Community Bail Fund ended up paying on his behalf. So this judge releases Lomax. There were some delays due to the holidays, due to a continuance. And he found himself, Lomax, back in court yesterday morning in front of Judge Melinda Young. Does that judge's name sound familiar? Kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does.
Because we talked about her before several times.
Several.
He was released again. Now, this time, it was due to being medically unavailable. Court documents cite that he would, quote, continue to quarantine until his quarantine period is done. It doesn't actually mention COVID, but that to me indicates that he's either COVID positive or perhaps he came in contact with someone who's COVID positive. So he is going to, I guess, isolate at his homeless hotel to which he currently resides. And like the previous judge, Judge Young has a record of going easy on homeless suspects. She was the one who lowered the bail from $20,000 to $5,000 on a homeless man accused of assault and robbery, who then, about a month later, ends up getting accused of stabbing someone to death. Now, the prosecutor's office is concerned. Their spokesperson sent me a statement. "We're concerned with the defendant's pattern of repeat behavior and are concerned it's going to continue. We're also concerned he's unlikely to return to court with his extensive criminal history that includes warrant activity on 32 cases. Only a fraction of those cases get to the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. Now, by the way, this is shoplifting, and shoplifting, generally speaking, does not go to the prosecutor's office. Right? Generally, that would go to Seattle City Attorney because those are misdemeanors. But sometimes, according to the spokesperson, quote, when there's extenuating circumstances like this case involving a prolific offender, we file a felony case. So kudos to them for actually trying to do something here, only to get stymied by a judge. This is outrageous, and it's going to continue. I told you this over the weekend. I went to Target within 20 seconds, this exact Target. Within 20 seconds, I saw a shoplifting incident. Security tells me it happens almost every 10 minutes. I go upstairs. I'm looking around. 12 minutes later, a separate one. This is outrageous. And it's going to continue to happen because we do not take it seriously in the city of Seattle. Our city leaders do not care. And activists definitely don't care. This is Target. They're evil. They're greedy. They're a corporation. Screw them. Let them suffer. They can afford it. I bet you they have insurance. That's how people here think. And as a result, we end up getting things like this happening over and over and over again. Now, I've got the video up. I hope you'll watch it because it truly is surreal. Just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll be talking about this, making my premiere appearance on Jesse Waters Primetime.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. I think the biggest part of this story is that you, Jason Rantz, stepped foot into a Target. First time ever, I assume, right?
It's disgusting.
I know, right? That store's so beneath you. It's incredible.
I felt dirty.
I knew that you would hate it there because yeah. I love Target.
Exactly.
And I thought, wow, Jason is going to be miserable.
Ugh. They don't have a single item that's priced over $3,000. How dare I?
What are you supposed to spend money on?
By the way, if you're not able to watch me on Jesse Waters Primetime, you can check it all out by texting the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and just click on the YouTube link. Once it's live, I will post it. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the bus?
The Washington State Supreme Court will consider whether or not fare enforcement on public transit, whether it's the bus or, say, Sound Transit, frankly, is unconstitutional. If it is unconstitutional for a fare enforcement officer or law enforcement in general going to you and asking you to prove that you paid for something that you're supposed to pay for. The question is whether or not that is a violation of one's right to privacy. It is a remarkably silly argument, which means it could actually be adopted by the Supreme Court here in Washington State because they have a tendency to do stupid things. This is the same court that said if a cop finds a baggie of meth in your pocket, it doesn't mean it's yours. I mean, who amongst us hasn't reached into our pockets and pulled out a baggie of weed or something that we're like, I didn't get, it's not my weed.
Yeah, no, not my weed
either.
Do
this whole thing of fentanyl? I mean, sure, I did hear like this sound of stuff like moving around in my pocket. I didn't realize what it was. At first, I was like, it sounds like pills loosely packed into a canister, but that I didn't put it there. What are you talking about? Same court. Now, this comes out of a case back in 2018 when Zachary Meredith was asked by Snohomish County deputies if he paid for his ride on a bus in Everett. Now, this case, of course, is being supported by the ACLU, the one of Washington at least, the King County Department of Public Defense, and the Washington Defender Association. These are all groups that routinely side with criminals or accuse criminals instead of police, instead of just basic common sense when it has to do with enforcing laws. Now, if this case is successful, if the Supreme Court rules with Zachary Meredith, that means transit agencies all across the state would be stripped of the authority granted by the state to simply get evidence that a rider is someone who's supposed to be there, who tapped their Orca cards or bought a ticket or used their app so that they could actually be on the bus or the train. The implication of this is obviously significant. Let's say they say you can't do that anymore. Well, guess what? All those Orca stations outside of a bus or outside of Sound Transit would have to be put onto the actual vehicle. So you wouldn't be able to tap outward or outside and then hop on. Now, some of the buses obviously are already equipped to do that, but not all of them. And on certain routes, you're able to just tap and hop on. Sound Transit, that's all you do. You tap outside and then you hop on. They would have to move that technology into the vehicle, or I suppose they can just make it all free, which is what some socialists want. But obviously, we can't afford to just simply make it free. Someone has to pay for it, unless you don't want those drivers to make a living. This is ludicrous. Now, according to the Seattle Times, they say when the three officers got on the bus and asked for payment, Meredith initially told him he had it, according to court documents. But after patting his pockets, he didn't have an Orca card or a receipt. The officers ordered him to exit and followed him off the bus. Under questioning, Meredith gave the officers a fake name. When the name didn't appear in any databases, police identified Meredith using a fingerprint device and found that he had outstanding warrants. Sounds like a good dude. They arrested him on suspicion of making false statements. Now, where this story kind of takes a twist is Meredith's lawyer tried to have the statement he gave to officers and the evidence collected from that fingerprint device tossed out. He tried to suppress the evidence. And the argument was that the act of officers asking for proof of payment constituted an unlawful seizure. This according to the Seattle Times. The court denied the motion. A jury sided against Meredith because they're not lunatics. And the conviction was upheld in Superior Court. And yet somehow it ends up getting to the Supreme Court. First went to the Court of Appeals. They rejected the argument that they pushed. They basically said, look, you chose to board this bus. As a result of making that choice, you had consented to the seizure. But this case got petitioned to the Supreme Court, so now they're going to look into it. Oral arguments are scheduled for February 17th. We live right now in a state that is seriously considering whether or not asking someone to prove they bought a ticket to be on a bus is unconstitutional. And yet, one could argue, I suppose, asking me to prove that I paid my taxes is ludicrous. How dare you? You don't have the right to ask me that. That's a violation of my rights. I have a right to privacy. Yeah, but our documents show that you didn't pay. Okay, well, your documents are wrong. Could you prove you paid it? I could, but I'm not going to. You have no right to look at my bank account. Yeah, I could show you right now that my bank issued you the payment that I owed you last month. I'm not going to do that. Sounds like a you problem. You think that would work? You think anyone would side on the Supreme Court with me in that case? We just did a story about shoplifting. I walk out of a store. I have items in my hands. The store says I stole it. An officer comes up and says, can I see your receipt? Sorry, no, I don't consent to that. You have no right to ask me for my receipt. I bought this. If you don't trust me, pound sand. That's what they're basically arguing. It is ludicrous. But I can't say that I'm shocked that they would even try to make that argument because, number one, a lawyer is supposed to do what they can to get their client off within reason. It has to be obviously ethical and legal. I don't know if this is ethical, but it's certainly legal to make this claim. But number two, we live in a world at a time right now in this state in which we are embracing lawlessness. We embrace lawlessness here. That's the unfortunate reality. And so, of course, something like this is going to pop up. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Weigh in on this conversation and anything else we talk about. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. There's a business called Sneaker City. It's actually been near Pike Place Market, just across the street, I think, for, 20 years or so. This is a mom-and-pop shop. This is an independent store doing its best to stay afloat. I imagine it's been pretty difficult just due to COVID. But they've been there for a long time. They're deeply connected to the city of Seattle, but they've decided, we're calling it quits. We're done. They're moving out. And a big part of the reason why they're moving out has to do with the crime.
Our door has been broken into multiple times, so we stopped replacing the glass.
They stopped replacing the glass that was broken outside of their shop or connected to their shop because it keeps getting destroyed 15 times in 2 years, according to Como TV. Now, a lot of the crimes were caught on surveillance video. Unfortunately, they've not been able to ever make arrests on these individuals. All we know is that it's someone presumably who's a sneakerhead. I see here mid-20s, possibly Latino or Asian.
You're trying to frame me.
It doesn't say Jew. It doesn't say tall Jewish-looking fella.
Why does it have to be one of us?
It's always one of us.
I mean, that's fair.
It's always between us. It's a sneaker shop. Now, unfortunately, the owner here, Caroline Cho, she just said, I'm done. I can't deal with this anymore. Just sales are down nearly 90%. People walk by. They don't even realize the business is open. They assume because of all the damage that's constantly done that this is just a shuttered business or one that hasn't been open for a while. 90% decrease in sales. And to make matters worse, her rent is going up.
To $13,000 a month from $8,000. That is preposterous because we barely have business.
$5,000 more a month, she says, because the owner of the property views it as a more expensive kind of property than it's currently priced because of its location near Pike Place. And normally I would agree. Unless you've not been down to the area in some time. Because remember, that downtown Target we talk about a lot now on the show is just, what, a block away from Pike Place? Block and a half? It looks like a third world country. So now they're quitting on Seattle and they're doing it online only, which upsets shoppers like Eunice, pretty bummed out about crime having to get to this kind of point. City ignores it only to have businesses closed down.
It's just really disappointing, like, because you lose so much value that's like immeasurable because the personality, the character of the business itself.
Character of the business itself. Now, according to the Downtown Seattle Association, 377 businesses at least have permanently closed since March of 2020. That's compared to 217 businesses that have opened during that same time period. So way more are closing than are opening, which is not good for any city center. You want it to be thriving. You want to see some vibrancy. Unfortunately, you don't. Not in Seattle. And this isn't just Sneaker City getting targeted. Edward Ruiz works a few blocks down or a few doors down. I think he's with the t-shirt company, the Seattle t-shirts that are there. He says things are bad.
It's really unfortunate, I personally think. It almost feels like we're losing our city to, like, the repeat crime. And then to add rent on top of that doesn't make it any easier. So it's like, I understand why they're leaving, but it shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't be that way. Tomorrow we're going to have on the show Jay, who's the owner of Seattle Shirt Company, which is where I think Edward works. And they're dealing with this. It is out of control, and it's out of control because we allow it to be out of control. That's the truth, and I know that might be a tough reality for some people to face, especially those of you who are like me who don't approve of this light-on-crime approach that very clearly is to blame for the rise in crime here. Turns out, I know, shocking, that when you say to bad guys, we're not really going to punish you if you break the law, turns out they're all like, oh, well, cool, I guess I'll break the law. It is pathetic, but the script could be written. We know how this all ends. And the truth is, we allow it by constantly putting in power the same people, the same kinds of people, people who hold the exact same views as the previous folks that you complain about. We don't do enough to push back during elections. We allow activists, we cede so much power to activists to be really, really loud and bully people into accepting their policies, and bam, this happens. The media locally is not particularly good on covering these stories. I mean, even this Como piece that we took the audio from, I mean, they don't talk about the underlying causes of this. They tell you the end results of the policies without identifying the policies that are responsible. And as this happens, leaders, so-called leaders, don't say a thing. Every once in a while, you'll get some meaningless press release or a tweet. We care about our business core. Yeah. Could you do anything more than write? Well, you didn't even write it, council member or mayor. One of your staff members did. Could you do something a little bit more than put out a press release to show you actually care? You're letting the homeless completely take over downtown Seattle. They have taken over downtown Seattle. And when you give up, bad things happen. When you cede power to criminals, when you give them all of this power, when you give them the knowledge that they will not be punished for what crimes they commit, they will commit crimes. And sometimes it gets very serious. All you have to do is ask Carrie Gray. On Monday, her six-month-old son, Grayson Matthew Fleming Gray, was struck by a stray bullet, 6 months old. This is the third kid under 6 years old to be shot in Atlanta in just this year, 3 weeks of 2022. And you probably won't even know about this case unless you watch Fox News, because CNN's not going to cover it. MSNBC doesn't cover it because they support the policies that have been put in place that have led to instances like this. Police, thankfully, caught a suspect, 22-year-old kid. They're looking for others involved in the shooting incident. And in this case, the mom and her six-month-old son, they were just caught in crossfire while in a car. Now, Kerry was on with Fox News yesterday, and she spoke directly to the killer.
Grow up. Make better life choices, because the rest of the world cannot become your collateral damage because you had issues. Because I'm sorry to say, we've all had something we've had to deal with growing up. And the rest of the world has had to find a way to deal with our problems without gunfire. We've been able to use words, even fists at some point, or be the bigger person and walk away. But I'm telling you, we cannot be your collateral damage anymore. You have ruined lives. You have put fear in people that don't deserve it. This child had the opportunity to be anything he wanted to be, as intelligent and as strong as he was, just like his father, right. Just like my, his grandfather. He had the ability to be anything, just like these other children. You don't know what you just took away. These are our future. These children are our future. And you're killing it slowly because you made a poor life choice. So make better choices.
What a sobering monologue she just provided that will be completely ignored by the left. Completely ignored by the politicians who claim they care when they treat the actual criminal as the victim instead of the actual victims. You just create a cycle of this garbage. Well, who knows, that 22-year-old's background could have come from rough times and poverty and systemic racism keeping him back, and the whole prison to pipeline issue from school. Like, oh my gosh, we better help that person. They're truly the victims. This is the result of policies like that, and that's a shame. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. My next guest is no longer employed. He used to be employed at a Fred Kroger in Federal Way, but unfortunately he finds himself out of a job after he decided to defend himself against a customer. And by customer, I mean a homeless person who apparently has been coming into the store a lot and causing all sorts of problems. Joining me on the line is Theo. Welcome to the show, Theo.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So I've seen surveillance video of what occurred. Obviously, we don't have context around it, and we haven't been able to get anything from Fred Meyer at this point. So take us through what you say happened.
Okay, I got you. So I've worked for Kroger since about like 2018. So I pride myself in saying I'm good at customer service, and I'm a pretty respectful dude. But this I was closing this Tuesday night, and I noticed this guy. He was digging through our trash, and Kroger tells us not to let people dig through our trash. And he had gloves on; he was ready for it. So, so I was telling him to stop. We didn't have any security or cops that night either, so I stepped up. And when I told him to stop the first time, he ignored me. And then so I asked him again politely, and then he screamed at me and told me to shut the F up. And so that's when I started just cleaning up the mess that he was making, throwing the trash everywhere. And then I was just putting it back in the bin. But he's still digging through the trash. So I guess that made him mad. He grabbed a handful of the trash and threw it at me. And then I just ignored that, kept picking up the trash. And then he threw it at me again, like a monster drink. And that's when I dodged back. And then he pushed me. And so that's when I, like, escorted him to the door. And then I pushed him out the door. Words were being exchanged. And then he came back in to the store and then punched me. And then that's when we got in our fight.
Yeah.
And we fought for a little.
You responded by, I mean, at first, it's very clearly you were not the aggressor here. Beyond, I suppose, someone could say you were the aggressor in asking him to leave. But I don't think any reasonable person would actually say that.
Right. But so we were fighting for a little bit, and then my PIC, he ran over, and then he separated us, and then the guy ran away, and then he told me to take my lunch. But apparently when I went and took my lunch, the guy came back in and started digging through the trash again. But the CES was at the door that time, so they were able to kick him out.
What is a CES?
And so that's the – I forget what it stood for, but they were the people that greeted the customers when they came in.
They're the first point of contact at the door when a customer comes in. Have you had that for a long time, or is this due to the fact that homeless people keep coming in?
So we've had that for a long time. Yeah.
So you go you get lunch, guy comes back. Have you seen this guy before? Is he's a frequent non-customer?
So I haven't dealt with him personally before. So this is my first time dealing with him, but when they were reviewing the footage, they noticed the guy. They recognized because he wears the same clothes every time. And he apparently comes in daily and digs through the trash. He does this almost like every day.
So
they kick him out on the daily. But
how did this end for you? What happened after this?
So I was on my, it was my Friday, so I went on my weekend. But after I came back from the 2 days, they reviewed the footage, and then they suspended me.
Who's they?
Said that push. So it was the higher ups.
Okay, so management,
head of
basically.
LP and management, head of LP, and then management that was there, and then they were the ones that had to review the footage, and they said that the push made me the aggressor, and so they had to suspend me until further notice, and then it was about a week went by, but during this week, all my employees and usual customers were hitting me up on Facebook and like saying, oh, they're sorry, they heard what Kroger did to me. Jeez. And they haven't called me yet, so it wasn't official. So they're all saying I was fired, but Kroger still hasn't called me. And so a week goes by and they call me in and they're like, oh, can you come in to the, you know, the store and we talk? And then I go in, and then during this meeting, he really was like trying to talk to me, you know, be friendly. He didn't want to fire me, but he said that the upper management, people higher than him, had told me that I had to be fired.
So your store manager is who you're referring to here?
Yes, yes.
So he seemed like he was reluctantly making this decision.
Yeah, he didn't want to. He said he really enjoyed me working there. We always had good encounters.
How'd you respond?
Oh, well, I was polite. We just had a good conversation, just talked. I mean, I wasn't very mad because I've been at the job for a while, so I've been dealing with a bunch of stuff like this for a long time, and I was already kind of fed up with it. And so I was thinking about looking for a new job. But so I wasn't very mad that they fired me. And then once I heard that they didn't trespass the guy, because they said when he came back in, they were going to have the cop, you know, trespass him, but they never did. And so that made me mad. And they don't really care about their employees, because like even a week or two before I got attacked, one of our other employees got stabbed in the back of the head with a screwdriver.
Jesus.
And yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, no, that's insane.
They still work there, but yeah, our security is kind of lacking at this Kroger.
Is it security lacking, or is it just that you can't really take control of a situation when it's deteriorated
so
much?
Too. So security, I mean, and cops too, they barely give us cops on the daily. Like, we're supposed to have them like every day, but we never get them. We get them maybe once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what you were saying with the rules that they put so much rules on us that we can't like do anything. And so like, any little contact with like, you know, them or their cart or anything will get us in major trouble. And in that case, I was fired.
So let's just add a fairness to Kroger. Do their policy says you should not have done what you did?
Yes.
Do you regret doing what you did?
When he started, no, not really.
Why?
I don't regret it. But they said, well, I don't regret it because I hope this, like, opens their eyes to, you know, having more security because people are getting fed up with this. Like, we're going on, like, our union is having us go on strike because how much, like, how, you know, how the customers are so rude to us and how much we have to deal with. And so they were about to go on strike before I was fired.
Wow. That's
so
nuts.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do now,
I don't
Theo?
This. Well, actually, I just got another job.
Nice.
So I've been working that.
Congratulations. What are you doing now?
Thank you. So I work FedEx Ground overnight now.
Okay, so that's much better of a job because you don't have to deal with people who want to pay for their groceries with a check, which is always the dumbest thing in the world. Put your stupid checkbook away, man. God. You're holding up the line. Well, Theo, we wish you the best of luck. I'm glad you told the story because I agree with you. I do think... Look, you violated the rules. You paid a price for it. I would have done probably exactly what you did. rules are sometimes meant to be broken. And in this case, it felt that way, at least from my perspective, obviously from yours. So we wish you the best of luck as you move forward with this next phase of your career, Theo. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Jason, for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rancher. Don't forget, I'll be on Jesse Waters Primetime. If you're not able to watch it, it's all good. You can check it out on youtube.com/JasonRancher.